And live, welcome to the magical, mystical, discovery paranormal, August 14th. I'll tell you, man, August is a bullcrap month. We all know it, and we just have to accept it. You know, it's a transitional month between your heavy summer months, and then, you know what, here we come to September. Here in the U.S., I mean, you know, people around the world, on the other side of the planet, you guys in Australia are going through your little winter and that type of thing. But here, we got nothing but fire and flood, man. East Coast flooded, West Coast on fire. So we like to talk about spiritual things here in Discovery Paranormal and also science. And next week, we got Augie Knox coming on to talk about everything that holds the universe together. Dark energy, dark matter, antimatter, you name it. And we're going to talk about it. And also 4D space. So tune in next week for Augie Knox. But right now, we're going to dig into the Ouija board. Now, you know what? As a paranormal investigator, I get to question a lot, you know, like, you know, what do you think about Ouija boards, man? You know, like Ouija boards. And I say, you know what? Don't use it. And that's the essence of what we tell people as investigators, the people on my team and myself, don't use it. You know, stay away from the Ouija board. And yeah, they put it out there as a kid's toy. They put it out there as a toy for people to play with and whatever. And it's not much of a game when you think about it. You know, I'd rather play like Monopoly or Scrabble or something like that than a Ouija board. A Ouija board is basically, if you look at it as a game point of view, it's a thing that you sit there and kind of spell out words and freak each other out maybe. But, you know, either one person's in on the con or they're both in on the con. It doesn't seem very fun. That's what I'm saying. So I remember when I was a kid, my mom and my sister using the Ouija board. And then I was like, you know, I have a scientific mind. I'm like, this is bull crap. You know, the guy's just messing around. It's boring. And then anything I deemed boring, I didn't want to be part of. So I never really got into the Ouija board. There were times that I sat down in front of the board. I took the thing and I was kind of looking around and whatever. Never moved for me. I never put my fingers on a thing and it shot across the room or exploded or spelled out evil or whatever. Said nothing. That's my experience with Ouija board. But having said that, now Peter Canellis, who I do investigations with, you know, for our investigations on YouTube, man, you'll see it on Discovery Paranormal. You go to youtube.com/discoveryparanormal and you can look at the investigations that we do, paranormal investigations. And we just put stuff out there as we get it. And we're very lucky in capturing evidence, I feel. And I like to put it out there as we get it. This is kind of like you're on the investigation too. But we've been in locations, plural, where people at one time in history have used Ouija boards or read from books, got into some kind of bad stuff. You know, like the things that they're doing, they were looking to bring about some type of energy of a low vibration into their midst because they somehow think that there's a powerful thing with that. But what it does is muck up the house. Then you have to go in there and clean up the house. So this is house in Hammondsport. It's a Hammondsport investigation. You guys can go on and check it out. This is the case that was so crazy, right? We first Pete goes in there because I wasn't able to get in there early on. And then, you know, we got the call. He went in there just to talk to the people, walked around, took a few pictures. And here are these people saying, you know, their kid opens his eyes at night and sees all these people looking at him, like eyeballs looking at him, you know. They'll lay there and they'll see the closet door open and people walk through. Okay, the mom was going downstairs, you know, to do laundry and other things, got pushed down the stairs a couple of times. Actually felt the hands in her back push her down the stairs. People sleeping, getting scratched from head to toe. So they figure that, you know, maybe they're scratching themselves or something like that, itchy or whatever. They put on clothes from head to toe. They were scratched under their clothes from head to toe. And the basement door, big bolt lock on there that slides. That sucker, heavy duty sliding lock, man. You have to push that thing to slide it over. Then physically push it over. And interestingly enough, there's locks on both sides. So There were people who went down to that basement because there was no outside entrance that they can gain access to. There's people that went down that basement that didn't want to, be found out of what they were doing, whatever the hell they were doing down there. So there's that too. But this door would open up at night, unslide the lock, and then slam. Big, heavy farmhouse type of door. Boom! Right? So, house is built in 1900s. The very first thing I do when I get the address is I look up the location, and then sometimes I'll go through fire department records or police records, whatever I can get, ambulance records, to try to put together a kind of a makeup on what's going on in that location, what has happened in the history. If you don't know the past, you don't know the history, then that's a big chunk of information that you're not going to have if you go in to do a paranormal investigation. So it's good to know what's happened there in the past and what type of energy exists there, right? So it turns out that there was like a fire there, and then it looks like a lot of people have gotten suffocated out and they died in that house. So then you start thinking it's get out of my house syndrome. There are people that have told us on EVP that they're not dead. I'm not dead. We got EVP saying, I'm not dead. Okay. You kind of laugh when you hear it, but then you're like, whoa, beyond the laughter of it. That's actually a real seriousness too, But all right, so we go into this place. Well, Pete goes into this place and he talks to the family. They are freaked out. Obviously, they just lived there. They got there a few months. They've been living there just, I think, 4 or 5 months at that time. They were freaked out, freaked out. So then Pete's like, might get Mike in here. We got a medium. We can come in and then see what we can do. We can't make any promises, that we can get rid of anything, but we have good people that we work with and we've been very successful, As a matter of fact, we never went into a place and then left it worse than it already was. So look at it like that. And then, I think that every place that we went in to move things on, it calmed down. Either they moved on or they chilled out or there was some kind of a gap of information. And then it's nice to communicate with people on any side that they're on so everybody knows what's good, right? Because these are paranormal investigations. You know what I mean? And they can go any which way. And then there are people that, novices or whatever that try to get into this type of stuff just because they want to, I don't know what, have a good time or whatever. They like to walk around, empty buildings at night and call out for stuff. I'm not saying there's not a place for that. I'm saying that if you start involving things like a Ouija board or, dowsing rods and things like that, and you don't know what you're doing, you don't have an ability, you shouldn't mess with that stuff. Peter uses dowsing rods, and I've come to rely on them for answers because I've tried to trick him numerous times, and then he can't do it. You know what I mean? I hide things, and I do all kinds of stuff like that. And just, doesn't matter. He just finds it, whatever. That's pretty damn accurate, right? So, this place, man. We're just about to go in there, okay? They said, okay, they want us to have us come in and that type of thing. We're just about to go in there, and then the family moves out middle of the night. I guess they got pummeled one last time. You know what I mean? They just couldn't take it anymore, and I don't blame them, man. It's a very hard thing to live with if you live in a situation like that, and then in your normal realm of thinking, and you're not even thinking anything paranormal. If that's not your business and it's not something that you even believe in, because there's a lot of people that don't. It really comes down to you trying to wrap your mind around these occurrences happening that are unexplained occurrences, and then you want someone to come in and explain it as best possible that they can to help you live your life and sleep and that type of thing. So, okay, they moved out. Pete tells me, oh, they had to move and they don't want to go back there. I said, they can meet us back there. It's an empty house. They don't want to go back there. They want nothing to do with it. Then I contacted the landlord, this lady, right? I contacted her. I'm like, hey, we're paranormal investigators. You want to come in? And it's a hard contact. To call somebody out of the blue and say, hey, we're paranormal investigators and we understand you got a problem in your house. It's not like you're from Acme Pest pest removal and you got rats in your house or something. This is something completely different. And it's not an everyday question that somebody will call and ask you. So I keep that in mind if and when I contact people. Usually they contact us. I'm lucky like that, but in this case, I felt I should reach out to the landlord because I know that there's stuff going on there. And, we understand that there's something very serious. So call the landlord. Landlord's, what do you want? Who the hell are you? And she's just some cranky old cranker. And I'm like, okay. I said, I felt like I was in Poltergeist something. I'm like, you have a problem, ma'am. You have a problem in that house. we can help you, maybe, right? You gotta throw that out there because you don't know. And then, we never charge for investigation, so it's not something that's gonna come out of someone's pocket. It's just more about opening the door and letting us in. Anyway, okay. So I know that I said, okay, whatever. What can you do? Sometimes you gotta take the lesson of futility and give up. You know what I mean? So several months later, probably 4 or 5, I get a phone call from a dude, and he's like, hey, just got out of the army. I got a wife, a couple kids, and moved into this house. I see you guys do ghost hunting because, they look us up, through the internet and all that. I see you guys, do investigations. Maybe you can help us out. And I'm like, well, what's been going on? And he's like, well, we're getting scratched, and my wife got pushed down the stairs, and then, the basement door is opening and closing, slamming shut. I'm like, really? I'm like, what's your address? And he gave me the address. It was the address of that house. So here you have a completely different, totally different people, different family, and this guy just came out of the army and he's trying to wrap his head around what's going on there. And they're freaked out. They're legitimately freaked out. So then, of course, when I told him that, hey, we were going to go in there and there was a family in there and they had to leave in the middle of the night because they were getting attacked, same type of stuff. Then the guy was really freaked out, right? So we set it up. It was like the day before Halloween when we went in there. There's Halloween decorations all around. And we kind of go in there nice and smooth. He didn't want to alert any neighbors, although we did talk to the neighbors because they saw us with our equipment and that type of thing, loading up. And they're like, oh, you're going to check the house out, huh? Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff happens there over the years. I started talking to this neighbor, and the guy lived there all of his life. And he said that whether there's people there or not, you see people in the windows and all kinds of weird stuff going on. But he said nobody had ever lived there longer than a year. With less than a year, they were out the door. And, so how could that be a house that was built in 1900, right? And then you think that, okay, you want to solve the problem. I mean, people usually, even if they rent, they live in a place for a while, not less than a year. He said average time is about 6 months. Wow, 6 months. So we go into this house, we set up, got Nicole Berardi right with us, man. Awesome medium. Very young at the time. I think that she's probably about 17, 18. Her mom came out with her, of course, and Josie's great. And she's also a great psychic. So, what could go wrong? what I mean? We're in there and we start the investigation, start doing our thing, and then we're led up to these bedrooms of where, and keep in mind, I don't tell mediums anything. When I deal with them, I deal with them at zero. I don't tell them anything, nothing. I want them to tell me, So the scientific mind that's in my brain says, don't tell anybody anything, Or the Italian in me, or something like that. Just don't share your information. Don't tell people more than what they need to know. Okay, so we start walking to this place, and she's telling me what they had already told me, and then what the last people had already told me. I mean, the woman that lived there before these people had went to the ER a couple of times, I think even 3 times, thinking she was having a heart attack, that someone was sitting on top of her, pushing down on her chest. That's what she said. She felt like she was pinned down. Somebody sitting on top of her, pushing down on her chest. And there's lots of accounts and stuff like that happening out there. If you read into these reports, okay, so something bad. And already I have in my mind that it's a get out of my house syndrome because I had looked up the info and I even had people's names to call out and that type of thing. So when you have that kind of information and you're dealing with a situation like that, and you're trying to contact people that are disembodied spirits, right? They're there, and you're calling out their name or saying things that they hit on, saying things that they might remember. All of a sudden, you're building this bridge of knowledge and trust, even. You know what I mean? That they understand you're there for them, so they can open up more and expose more of what they are to you, right? So we go into the little girl's bedroom, man. Bunk beds, little cute little bedroom, little girls, right? And I'll tell you, the hallway was totally neutral. The hallway felt neutral. It felt like nothing, like there was nothing, And usually you get this feeling when you walk into these places, and much of the time it's a feeling of heaviness, almost like a really horrible, heavy, humid day. And then the bedroom, the little girl's bedroom, was like that. You walk from that neutral hallway to that bedroom, you're like, oh my God. It went from day to night. So we focused a lot of our attention in that room, And then there was actually two rooms, and also the hallway. It used to be a hallway. They made closets out of it, and the people saw people, coming out of this closet like it's a hallway, like walking through the door, going back and forth, even the door opening up at night. I don't know. Can you imagine being some like little 6, 7-year-old girl, 8-year-old girl, or a boy, or whoever, even an adult, and you're laying there in bed and your closet door opens? That's like the worst nightmare case scenario for any kid. It's like you're staring at this door. When I was a kid, my bedroom door, like the closet door was. Led to a big long closet, and it was creepy in there, So, and then I barely had any clothes in there. My mom actually used it to store all her stuff. So then at night, I'd see that door open and close, man. At least, move a couple inches one way, move a couple inches the other way. And you just lay there, like, basically, like, oh man, really? And I've had paranormal experiences, that happened to me, things I've experienced personally, but and that weren't tied to that house. But there's things that you just don't look under the bed type of thing. There's a crazy clown under there type of thing. That's for this house. And these people were living it. They're seeing all the stuff, and the woman got pushed down the stairs. Try to wrap your head around that. Get pushed down the stairs. So we went in that situation, and Nicole had determined that she physically saw in her mind that these people were in the basement playing with like a Ouija board and or reading from a book. She saw them doing the Ouija board thing, and she also saw them reading from a book. You know what I mean? But then she said she kind of might have confused the two, but then she had a clearer vision of what it was. And then I'll tell you, man. And that's why they have a lock on the door and whatever the hell. She said they did terrible things down there. We'll just leave it at that. Terrible things. So automatically, you are using a device to try to bring about some kind of effect, right? And you're doing whatever you're doing down there. The terrible things that she mentioned. You're just bad people who are delving into a negative world. And then sometimes you can open up these portals. And then we've seen this before. We've seen them before. And whatever can walk through can walk through. It's like that. Or if you call something to walk through, you can look at the videos on YouTube. There's a few situations we've got into this portal type of stuff, So we do a roundabout of the house. I'm trying to, like, the people didn't want to be on camera, which is fine. So I'm trying to shoot around them. Then they kept walking in front of me, which is like irritating. You're trying to shoot someone, and then bang, there they are. So it was, I don't know. In a situation like that, when you're trying to record everything and get on top of everything, sometimes stuff can get a little weird. So the woman was like, really, like, don't show me on camera. Don't show me on camera. So she like had a problem with something, whatever. Okay, I'm happy with that. So we go in there. I don't even mention names, man. People, I don't mention addresses and names if they don't want it. Some places you go into, like a bed and breakfast, they want people to know about it, but it's still not really good. You know what I mean? It's a situation where, it's not Disneyland. It's not like an adventure park or something. It's a haunted house. It's a house with earthbound spirits. Spirits that have not moved on for whatever reason. And that could be any reason in the world. It could be any reason. You don't know. It could be they've done something terrible. It could be that they're waiting for someone to transition because they don't want to go. Maybe they're attached to the refrigerator. I have a friend, her refrigerator was haunted. And then, she kind of thought it was funny in a way, but then it wasn't funny. And you know what? People, sometimes these spirits will hold on to different things, man. Yeah, it could be a refrigerator, it could be a TV too. Who the hell knows? There's no rhyme, no reason for it that we know because, we don't have the answers, right? So it's like that. It's a quest for information, is why I call it Discovery Paranormal. The discovery, like in going to court, it's a discovery process of information and evidence, man. You know what I mean? And I like to explore. And I like to know what I'm talking about before I talk about it, obviously. It just got to the point where this investigation, it was so tense because, I felt their pain. I felt their pain. And when I started reaching out to these people in the house that had died and mentioning their names, they were like even more flipped out. They're like, how do you know these things? I said, well, I look up the information. And I don't like to tell people things beforehand. Like I said before, even if it's not a medium, I don't like sharing information because I like the effect of throwing the information out there fresh. You know what I mean? So I'm throwing out these names, and these people are getting bugged out. Then Nicole starts talking to this girl that died, who was 18, who was kind of the caretaker. It was the girl. There was, two parents, and then some other kids. Like five people died. And she starts reaching out to them, and then a lot of stuff is knocks going on, and we ask them to contact us. We ask them to validate the situation. You know what I mean? So can you knock on a wall, or can you say something that we're going to hear on our devices and that type of thing? Can you show yourself? Can you materialize and show yourself? It takes a lot of energy for them to do that. That's why, a lot of people that have these hauntings say, oh, I felt a cold spot in my house. A cold spot is basically these entities trying to manifest themselves using the thermal energy around them as like electric, basically, to do it. And then there's shows on television that were they're off the air now, but they were legitimate shows. Even the Ghost Hunter guys, like early on in the beginning, it was real green stick type of stuff. And and I'm glad that they did it because they kind of opened the door, no pun intended, to other people who were serious about doing this type of thing, right? So, but there was times, there was like an Air Force base that they got called into, and this guy was walking along, and he walks through this cold spot of energy that, he said it was 90 degrees outside, and he walks into this energy that he felt it was 20 degrees, and he could see his breath. So it's interesting when you document that type of effect, and that type of thing. And I like to call it evidence because it's evidence of an occurrence, The occurrences, you don't know what. Hey, but if someone, your old grandpa Al materializes in front of you and starts talking to you, that's happened too. You know what I mean? It's never happened to me. I've seen shadow figures. I've never seen a full-bodied apparition. I've seen full-bodied apparitions in photographs that I have, stuff that we captured. In one photograph, Pete's put his recorder on a desk, and then this guy's aunt, who had passed away years ago, is right in front of him. Is standing where the desk is. You can't fake something like that. We didn't know what the hell that woman looked like beforehand. We didn't even know about her. All we knew is that stuff was going on in this guy's apartment, and we were called in there. And I'll tell you, from that one investigation, that's online too, from that investigation, man, I think every typical stereotypical paranormal thing that could happen happened to us in that investigation, and when we captured that, the video of the woman holding the box, the guy's aunt, and then she was right in front of Pete. She's like looking right in his face. When you look at the photograph, you can see her like looking right in his face. I'm like, did you feel anything, like a cold spot? He's like, nothing. He felt nothing. Isn't that amazing? And it wasn't even an infrared camera, which is also interesting to know. But we did use a large ultraviolet light pointing against you, just shining, a UV bulb shining on that direction, because I had a theory that they could show themselves better in ultraviolet light, right? Obviously it worked. And then we got those amazing photographs, and then when we showed the dude, he was like, oh my God, that's my aunt. And he started flipping because he hadn't seen her in many years because she died. And then there she was in his bedroom walking around. But see, but that wasn't like a negative haunting. It wasn't like something that was plaguing him, but in Hammondsport, ugh, it was horrible. Just walking in that room was horrible. You really felt that the people there, imagine this, if you will, right? You're sleeping and you die, and then you don't wake up. But you wake up in some kind of spiritual form, and what you see is different than what everybody else sees. And what you see is something that you can't necessarily affect the change on. You know what I mean? I can build a wall. A spirit can't build a wall. You know what I mean? Can they motivate someone to build a wall? Definitely. Yeah, but can they build a wall? No. So, like a lot of times you hear about paranormal stuff when people start renovating their homes, right? And then they're like, oh man, that's when it all started, when it started renovating and taking down walls and doing things, because you're changing their environment, that earthbound spirit of what they're experiencing, and then if they're angry as it is, then they're going to be more angry than that, and we've been in some pretty negative places. So and it just is what it is, and every place is different, so not, I mean, we get, a lot of people ask us questions about all this, and it's like there's no one thing that's the same necessarily. You might have, situations and scenarios that are similar, but not the same, because nobody's the same. And we're talking about individuals and people, right? That type of thing. So, I mean, we've done lots and lots and lots of these investigations. Like I said, youtube.com/discoveryparanormal, all one word. And then you're going to see these investigations. One of them has over 500,000 views. That's kind of interesting. And the Erie Mansion one, that's a couple hundred thousand, 250,000, somewhere around there. Pretty cool. And that people are watching it and commenting, and it really is what it is. And it's not even something that you can criticize. And I'm open for people to look at what I call evidence and try to say it's not. I invite people to do that. We also like taking people with us sometimes, so we can watch them like run out of a place. It's gotten to be like a thing with me. The ones are like, oh, I don't believe in this crap. Really? Come with us. And then, 15 minutes into the investigation, they're like, oh, they're running out the door. All you see is the back of their head running out the door. Pa-boom. Yeah. When in doubt, get out, man. Don't stay in the places if you feel like something terrible is going to happen, And especially like they are obviously sensitive. We say sensitive, that everybody's got some kind of level of sensitivity, and different types of sensitivity. But mediums, man, they are locked right in, and a lot of them can just be pushed over by these stronger entities, because they're like pure emotion. Imagine encountering that. So this Hammondsport house, the whole Ouija board thing, and using it as a divination device and bringing people through, spirits or unborn entities or whatever you want to call them, man. I've heard about all kinds of stuff, and I'm open to everything, I'm of the mindset that if I can disprove it, then I can choose not to believe in it. If I can't disprove it, then definitely there could be some kind of, could be plausible, right? And then these are people's stories. Who am I to say that their story is not correct? Who am I to say that they're crazy? Same thing for UFO stuff. There are people that talk about being abducted that you just feel like, they're just, looking for attention. They're a little weird and crazy. But then there's people that talk about being abducted that actually, man, you really feel the sense that they're telling the truth. And it's like a gut feeling. You just really feel that's not because they're convincing or whatever. I mean, some of the liars are more convincing. It's just that these people really feel like they're out there telling the truth. Same thing for the paranormal world. And to me, it all links up together eventually, of energy. We're talking about energy here. So whether you talk about, if you can have an advanced civilization, that's great. That's a one type of energy. And you talk about like 3D space and 4D space and multiple, dimensional energy and that type of thing, that's great. There's so much that we don't understand as people, as humans. I mean, so much. You know what I mean? So much. And I like to explore that world. So I like the stories, and I like it when there's a Navy jet chasing down a UFO, and they don't know what the hell it is, and it's doing things going from 80,000 feet, down to the sea level, or crazy stuff like that. I love those stories, because these are people that, I mean, these are Navy pilots, guys who trained Top Gun type of stuff and all that. They really have no reason to say it other than that they want to say it, other than, I mean, you hear astronauts, there's one now saying that he saw a biological life form when he was an astronaut. And a lot of these astronauts are like telling the story. When they were younger, they were told, if you say anything, you're going to be ruined. You're not going to be allowed to go back up in space. You're not going to be allowed to get back in that plane. The people are going to think you're nuts, right? So, okay. But the Ouija board has nothing to do with UFOs, man, aliens. The Ouija board has something to do with people trying to bring about some type of thing. Okay, so I'm going to read you some stories. Some of them are old, some of them are not so old. It's a nice little bit of info on other people out there. And you know, stories could be embellished too. You know, you gotta sometimes take stuff with a grain of salt. You know, look at the mainstream media. You can't believe anything they say, no matter who. No matter who. They're all a bunch of liars. They're all gonna just tell their own story. May have bits and pieces. I like to think that there's bits and pieces of info that's true. But all right. Here are some stories about people, men and women, share horror stories from their experiences using a Ouija board. This story about a father who had been playing with a Ouija board with his friends when they were told one of their friends' fathers would die in the near future. Next week, his father was struck down by a car and killed immediately. Another said that they used a Ouija board when they were 12 or 13 years old. And we're at a friend's house. They were messing around when they got a message. I can see you through your window, and then I can see through your eyes, man. See, that's like, and that's a long ass message for a Ouija board. Let me tell you, because you're spelling out things one letter at a time. I can see you. And that's totally something that I would do. I used to do that stuff anyway, man. You prank call friends at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking at you through your window, you know? Like that. Stuff like that, you know? So, all right. Scary, you know, to find out, hey, someone's father's gonna die and then they die, you know? Is it a coincidence? You know, it could be. You never know, you know, but the fact that the information was given out and then the scenario actually took place, that's something that you can look into, right? All right, so the Great Depression, the Fold Company opened new factories to meet demand for these Ouija boards. They came up with them, right? But the Ouija board actually came up with years earlier. And let's not forget about automatic writing, Egyptian automatic writing, Chinese automatic writing. It's been around for thousands of years. But this is just the board we're going to talk about, right? So over 5 months in 1944, a single New York department store sold 50,000 of them. In 1967, the year after Parker Brothers bought the game from the Fold Company, 2 million boards were sold, outselling Monopoly. And they used to advertise it, talk to the dead. That was the claim that they made. You can talk to the dead, right? So imagine outselling Monopoly. Monopoly's an actual game. It's a frustrating game, but it's an actual game. It's great when you're winning. You know, it sucks every other which way, because if you're not winning, you're losing, and then you just have to like cash everything out and you get demoralized. So yeah, I stopped playing Monopoly a long time ago. You know, Scrabble, awesome, man. So now that same year saw more American troops in Vietnam. The counterculture Summer of Love in San Francisco and race riots in Newark, Detroit, Minneapolis, and Milwaukee. People started buying these boards to try to look, see what the future is. Isn't that funny? They want to know. They're scared of their current world, and they're looking to some Ouija board to tell them the future about things. And I'm here to tell you, maybe you don't want to know the future, man. Maybe the future's not as good as your present right now. So you just kind of live with it, and you know, change the things that you can change, and if the things that you can't change, you have to accept it, right? So anyway, strange Ouija tales also made frequent, titillizing appearances, American newspapers, on television shows, back, like in the 50s and 60s and 70s, people on the radio. So it was a thing. It's out there, right? So in 1920, National Wire Services reported that would-be crime solvers were turning to their Ouija boards for clues in the mysterious murder of a New York City gambler, Joseph Burton Elwell, much to the frustration of the police. In 1921, the New York Times reported that a Chicago woman being sent to a psychiatric hospital tried to explain to doctors that she wasn't suffering from mania, but that the Ouija spirits had told her to leave her mother's dead body in the living room for 15 days before burying her in the backyard. So that's the deal. You got freaks out there. And there's always going to be freaks out there because people are freaks. You know what I mean? And then people do crazy stuff. You are going to have those people. There's mass murderers that said that a dog told them to kill, or you know, whatever stupid thing, right? Anyway, 1930, Newspaper readers were thrilled to accounts of two women in Buffalo, New York, not very far from where I am, the 10th most dangerous place in America. Yeah, that take that, East St. Louis, Buffalo, New York, who'd murdered another woman, supposedly on the encouragement of the Ouija board messages. In 1941, a 23-year-old gas station attendant from New Jersey told the New York Times that he joined the army because the Ouija board told him to. In 1958, a Connecticut court decided not to honor the Ouija board will of Miss Helen Dow. That meant the board replied, good luck. So I'll tell you, man. All right. In February 1891, the first few advertisements started appearing in papers. Ouija, the wonderful talking board. But you know what? And this is what gets me. 1891. People superstitious like you wouldn't believe. 1891. Christians out there condemning everything that there is, man. You know, other religions condemning stuff. And you know, people, they religions condemn things. They do terrible things themselves, but they condemn things for everybody else. All of this going on, and here's somebody with this Ouija, the wonderful talking board. And nobody ever like said, hey, that's like device of Satan. But they did. They did. But the outcry wasn't to the point where they pulled him from the markets, you know, because the Ouija was a device of the devil, right? And this is what the Christians were saying anyway. So this, all right, so this boomed from this Pittsburgh toy and novelty shop, describing a magical device that answered questions about the past, present, and the future with marvelous accuracy and promised never failing amusement and recreation for all the classes out there, for all the classes of people, from the stinking lowlife rats to your upper echelon rich robber baron bastards, right? A link between the known and the unknown, the material and the immaterial. Another advertisement in New York newspaper declared it interesting and mysterious, and testified as proven and as proven at the patent office before it was allowed, before they gave it the patent. So they went to the patent office, and then, you know, I guess for the patent clerk, proved that the thing worked, and the price was $1.50. Affordable divination device, I say. All right, this mysterious talking board was basically what's sold in board game aisles today, a flat board with the letters of the alphabet arrayed in two semicircles above the numbers 0 through 9, the words yes and no in the uppermost corners, goodbye at the bottom, accompanied by a planchette. This little thing that has a little window in it. You put your little fingers on there. Two people are supposed to be doing it. And then, or two or more, I guess. And then this thing moves around, right? A teardrop-shaped device. That's what it looks like. Usually with a small window in the body, used to maneuver about the board. You can see whatever letter, number, or a word that comes through. The idea was that two or more people would sit around the board, place their fingertips on the planchette, pose a question, and watch dumbfounded as the planchette moved from letter to letter, spelling out the answers seemingly on its own accord. The biggest difference is in the materials. The board is now usually cardboard rather than wood, and the planchette is plastic. Though truth in advertising is hard to come by, especially in products from the 19th century, the Ouija board was interesting and mysterious. It actually had been proven to work, like I said, at the patent office, and other people, you know, got together scientifically and said that the thing works, which is interesting. It's interesting to get any kind of scientist to admit anything about anything, you know? Or just, I mean, theoretical science is different. Actually saying something works or doesn't work is something completely different, right? Even psychologists believe that it may offer a link between the known and the unknown. So you have it. Psychologists, they're crazy, right? The real history of the Ouija board is just about as mysterious as how the game works. Ouija historian Robert Merck had been researching the story of the Ouija board since 1992. When he started his research, he says no one really knew anything about its origins, which struck him as odd. You know, you know, hey, where did it come from? Nobody knows. And I've traced it back to 1700s, in some cases even 1600s. But like I said, when it comes to automatic writing, and this is what we're talking about, Automatic writing, it's been around for thousands of years. Okay. So for such an iconic thing that strikes both fear and wonder in American culture, how can no one wear this no how can no one know where this thing came from? The Ouija board, in fact, came straight out of the American 19th century obsession with spiritualism. But me myself, I also had information that there were people in France in the 1700s that had very similar things, right? And a lot of people back in the day, especially back then, kept things to themselves because they didn't want to get killed by some kind of Christian group or whatever the religion that was controlling that area. If you think that Muslims will throw you off a mountaintop for using a Ouija board, you're sadly mistaken. Of course they will. So it became, you know what? It became an acceptable and like wholesome activity that people have in their houses, which is weird because these are seances basically. These are things that you're getting into talking to the spirit world. It's not Monopoly. It's not Scrabble. I mean, those are games. This isn't a game. This is something that you just shouldn't mess with. And that's really what the essence is. And not, like I said, I know mediums that are like, oh, I use a Ouija board to talk to the spirits and whatever. And if you're a medium, really, you don't need a Ouija board, honestly. I mean, your average medium gets all this information, and when someone says that they're a medium, but they tell you they use a Ouija board, yeah, little grain of salt time. But I don't know. I think that also people were looking into, back in the era where the lifespan was less than 50 years old, and these things started to come about. People are looking into their own mortality, right? So, back in the day, a lot of women died in childbirth. People don't think of that. Children died of disease. Men died in war, So even Mary Todd, Mary Todd Lincoln, the wife of President Abraham Lincoln, conducted seances in the White House after their 11-year-old son had died of a fever in 1862 during the Civil War. So, and I know that they have visited people. And these places close to where I am in Ithaca, up in Auburn, the Lincolns were always up there. And then his wife was always up there meeting with this big medium that lived there at the time and was always trying to get information. So interesting stuff, right? A lot of history involved. So the makers of the first talking board asked the board what they should call it before it was even named, and the board said Ouija. Call me Ouija. And they said, call me Luigi. And they got it messed up, man. It was an Italian guy, I made it like a pizza with the numbers and the letters. They call me Luigi. And they call it a Ouija. So Ouija came through. That's pretty eerie. And then the board replied, good luck. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck. Mission impossible. So communicating with the dead was common back in the day, and it wasn't seen as bizarre or weird, which is crazy to me because if you think about history, especially history here in America, people are afraid of everything, And then here it is. Here's a board. And I guess that they didn't look at the negative side of it, right? So, I mean, look at stuff now. I mean, how people are being condemned or yanked off the air with their TV show because they say something or whatever. And, it's such a weird society. You would think that people would be more open-minded now. And then it's actually the opposite. So anyway, so I guess opening the gates of hell wasn't on anyone's mind when they started the Cunard Novelty Company. The first producers of the Ouija board, in fact, they were most likely looking to open America's wallets. And as spiritualism had grown in America and American culture, so did people's frustration how long it took to get any meaningful answers. Because, it's not like getting a text message or something. It's like there's one letter or one number at a time. And I think that people get tired too while they're doing it. It's a whole weird thing to me. Even, and I'm a paranormal investigator, and it's weird to me. That why people want to sit down and start messing around with this is really beyond me. Oh, let's ask grandma a question. Maybe she's not there to answer your question. Maybe something else is there that's going to pose as her, and people get duped all the time. Look at emails. Look at these people that like get the, I'm the prince of Zaire, and I'm gonna send you 50 million bucks in your bank account. You gotta give me your routing number, right? And people are stupid. They do it. Not everybody does it. Not everybody's stupid, but some people are gullible, man. And then there's other people out there that like to cash in on gullible people, right? So, all right. This is the deal. It might be eerie and cryptic and whatever, but we know that people use it. We know that most houses have a Ouija board inside the house, whether it gets used or not. Most houses have a Ouija board. That's pretty interesting, when you think of the whole concept. But it's been around here in America for 120 years. 120 years, man. And then when you look at other people in history, Adolf Hitler got into all that stuff, man, and had mediums around, and there's other people through history, older days, that used witches, warlocks, whatever you want to call them, to bring about a spiritual message. So, not too far off the beaten path, but in the Bible, because the Bible condemns everything, basically, and even though they do it, they condemn everything, but in Deuteronomy, right? When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter, or a lawyer. I just threw that in there, I'm sorry. With family spirits, or a wizard, or necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, and the evil ones will be banished to CNN. That's right. That's right. So, about the Hammondsport house, we get down into the kitchen. I'm going to finish that story because I already got this Ouija board and I'm running out of time. We get down to the kitchen, right? And then Nicole's like, okay, this is a good time. She wanted to get the hell out of there. She already had gone outside a few times to just try to ground herself and get away from it. And when we say ground yourself, we literally mean go outside and lay on the grass and roll around. Make sure there's no dog poop or anything like that. Lay around, ground yourself, because it's like electric. It's like being having like this netting of electrical over you when you're in these situations, right? And then, Pete and I do the white light thing. We leave and we surround ourselves with white light and we say, you spirits, you stay here. You don't have to go home, but you're not coming with us, type of thing. We don't want you. And we know people who were followed home before and didn't work out well for them. We know people who invited people to come back and didn't work out well for them. So Nicole does her thing. You know what she does? It's very simple. She reads St. Michael's Prayer. And whether you believe in that or not, whether you believe in St. Michael, the prayer, or the energy behind it, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that it worked, right? It worked. So she did her thing. And I'll tell you, when I've done lots of investigations with Nicole, when she does that, you can physically feel the place get lighter. You can physically feel it. You can, if I close my eyes and I didn't even hear what she was saying or doing, it would be the same thing. I would still have that same feeling, So, all right, make a long story short. We leave, pack up our equipment, say goodbye to the people. Place felt pretty good, all that. And I talked to the guy, about a month, maybe 2 months after that, told him that, the videos had played on. Local cable, that type of thing, the videos I was making. So whatever. He said it was all quiet, no problems, no door slamming, no one getting knocked down the stairs, no one getting scratched. And then didn't talk to him, haven't heard from them, right? I hear from them 2.5 years later. The guy calls me. And then he's like, hey, remember me and whatever. I'm like, yeah, definitely, He said, we still live in the same house and nothing's ever happened. He's like, I want to really thank you. You helped us, you helped our family, and you did so much. And for whatever reason, things are quiet and it's good and it's a good feeling, you know. And you said, you know what? That's why we do what we do, man. You know what I mean? I'll applaud myself and the group on that one, because helping people understand is half the battle. And if you're dealing with something bad and negative, kicking that thing out of there is the other half of the battle. They don't have to go. And then you have to bring the heavy hitters in, man. And I got some heavy hitters, man. I got some mediums that you don't want to mess with. They will come in and then they will kick them right out, you know, or try to anyway. I've never seen them fail, the people that I've worked with. You know, I've never seen it got to the point where, I mean, we've been in situations where the hauntings weren't bad. And then, you know, these spirits were just there because they're there. You know, they're waiting for something or whatever. And you know, once they realize that they're kind of getting in the way of other people's lives, and then they back off, you know. So all that's good, man. Don't mess with a Ouija board. It's a very weird thing. You go to the store, you go to you know, even the supermarket. The supermarket has a Ouija board. You know what I mean? I'm like buying food. Like there's a Ouija board sitting there. It's very weird. That's what I'm saying. Very weird. A lot of marketing involved there. And you know, talking to the dead and whatever. Avoid it if necessary. You want to contact grandma? You know, think about her when you go to sleep at night, or you know, take something that she owned, a hairbrush or something like that. Something simple, and then think about that energy. Think about the good moments and you know, holidays, birthdays, good stuff that happened. Usually they come around those dates anyway, right? If they want to come visit you. And that's usually how it happens. But I will tell you this. If you reach out that way, you'll have a way better experience than trying to go through some kind of board. You know what I mean? So, or you go find a really good psychic, somebody who's highly recommended, somebody who's really good at what they do, and talk to them about it. You know, it's that simple. So, this is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. Of course, you can check us out on Patreon at any time under Michael Angley. Of course, you can check us out on YouTube. YouTube.com/DiscoveryParanormal and see all the videos that I've talked about. And of course, you can always hear me here on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Past Christian. And check us out next week, this time, this channel, for Aginaz talking about science, man, and the science of maybe ET, or the science of life, or who knows? We're talking about all kinds of energy, dark energy included, man. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, man.
Yeehaw! Let me hit stop here.
So now the YouTube channel is United Public Radio Network.
Yeah, it's YouTube United Public Radio. That's what it is. It's well, I'll hold on a second. Let me
YouTube.com/